Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire podcast presented to you by USA Today, SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your hosts, and we are just doubling up on episodes this week. It is a big week for the Buffalo Bills as they play the Baltimore Ravens this coming Sunday. And I have some guests with me today. I'm very excited to speak with them. First and foremost, the managing editor of Bills Wire, my good friend Nick Wotan. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Yes, sir, Matt. Thanks for having me as always.
Oh, of course, of course. Glad you can make it on this one. And we also have a good friend of yours who helps cover the Baltimore Ravens for Cecil Wigg. He's a sports editor there at CecilDaily.com. Everybody, welcome to the show, Sean Grogan. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
Great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
I have to jump right in right here, and I should say from Oswego pride. That's for everyone out there. That's why Sean and I know each other. We're both Oswego Lakers. So any other Oswego Lakers out there listening, you're really going to love this one.
couple Lakers doing a podcast. That's right.
That's right.
Representing. I love it. Not me, though. Not me. No. I just, you know, community
I'll
college.
Guys,
yeah. We'll go with that.
Here we go.
We'll go with that. So, Sean, I got to ask you first and foremost. I mean, here we are 14 weeks into the season. You know, this Baltimore Ravens team that you do help cover, are you surprised by how talented this team is, you know, right now? The season they're kind of having. I expected an improve, you know, mm-hmm. with you know, Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team. But I got to ask, I mean, this is, it's pretty much, they're taking the NFL by storm right now. Are you surprised?
The short answer is yes. I'm really surprised. And I was very excited coming into this year. All summer long, they kind of touted this new revolutionary offense that no team had ever run before. So I was excited. I was anxious to see what it would look like. And I thought this team could be pretty good. I didn't think 10-2 at this point in the year. I didn't think number one team in the AFC. And I was one of the guys who I truthfully did like Lamar Jackson. I told people over the summer that this kid had improved so much as a passer. But to say that I saw this coming is completely false. Anybody who tells you they thought he would be an MVP front runner and the leader of the league's best offense at this point in the year, I think they're lying to you. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
No, I'm certainly in that, you know, the same boat. I would think that Nick, you are as well. I mean, we didn't really know what to expect. Yeah, like you said, they touted this new offensive scheme, and I'm very impressed with it overall. You know, just how it's functioned. You know, the team is really good at selling, you know, trick plays and so much like that. I preached about it a little bit on yesterday's episode, but it's very well-run team. And Nick, if you want to chime in.
Yeah. I think they're, of course, for different reasons. But I think while we're talking on the Bills Wire podcast, to talk about the Bills, I mean, nobody saw the Bills being 9-3 either right now.
Absolutely.
With the help of their excellent defense. Their offense is not quite Lamar Jackson, but a little bit better than people thought. And, I mean, no, I wrote last week that in our pick'em story, you know, Bills aren't playing on Sunday. Who should we pick? I said, yeah, pick the Patriots. They're going to win anyways. I hope the Texans get another loss for the wild card. All of a sudden, we're talking AFC home field advantage here. Bills exactly. Versus Ravens in Week 14. Where the hell? What world are we living in?
10-2 and 9-3. Yeah.
Neither or. Nick brought up a great point. You know, both these teams are just playing unbelievable football. Granted, you know, everybody likes to bring up the Bills, you know, scheduling and all that. But from what I've seen from the Bills, they've played really solid football. Four mm-hmm. quarters of football. The last couple of weeks, we've seen that with the victory over Dallas. Denver, top 10, top 5 defense, if I'm not mistaken. And, of course, Miami. So I'm really intrigued by this. I mean, this matchup, there's so much that really comes into play. Obviously, we're getting to see two sophomore quarterbacks, probably the top two, I would say, at this point, going at it in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So, but there's just so many dynamics. I think the records just really help this and how good the teams are playing.
I think what you just said, too, about the top two quarterbacks, add that to the list of surprises.
Yeah.
Towards the end of last year, everybody was saying Baker. A lot of people also probably would have said Darnold above both of these guys. And right now, I don't see much of a debate. These are the two best of that class.
Absolutely. I think that too. And I, it's just so interesting to me. I think, you know, the obvious, not obvious thing is, of course, these are the two guys touted out of the five first round picks. You mentioned two of them plus Josh Rosen, which I think the jury is still out on him. I'll say, I mean, my goodness, like what a horrible like positioning to be put to the start of your career. That guy,
I agree.
He don't even waste your dollar buying a lotto ticket, my guy. it's bad. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Of course, I kind of make tons of comments sometimes on Twitter. Josh Allen is not the elusive, dynamic playmaker that Lamar Jackson is, but they're both dual threat guys. And of course, they were the pegged 4 and 5 guys of that draft class. And now, and to your point, yeah, all of a sudden, those two guys who couldn't do it are the 1 and 2. So
the dual threat thing is interesting, too, because they couldn't be, you know, they're both incredibly mobile quarterbacks, but they couldn't be doing it in more different ways. Like you said, Lamar's that blazing quick, and he's got that really shifty elusiveness. And today, the Ravens defensive coordinator Don Martindale compared Allen to trying to bring down a barreling tight end, is how he worded it.
I think that's a fair assessment. He is, you know, a bigger quarterback, and he does make some big plays. Yet that, and you know, he doesn't have that Lamar Jackson speed. I think that's why nobody can really figure out. But really can't stop that Ravens offense right now. So, the dual threat thing is particularly interesting. Obviously, Lamar is more run happy himself, even though I believe he stated that he's not overly fond of doing it, but he will if he needs be. You know, where Josh is more pass happy, but if he needs to make a play on his feet, you know, he's really good about that. So, is there any matchups for you, either you guys that you know, maybe offense to defense that you're really looking forward to this Sunday?
I'm excited to see how the Ravens secondary kind of checks out against your wide receivers. Obviously, John Brown is a guy the Ravens know pretty well, having spent last year in Baltimore. And he really did well here. He until Lamar replaced Joe Flacco, he was Flacco's go-to guy. I think he caught, 42 passes, 715 yards, and he scored 5 touchdowns. And obviously opposite him, the Ravens don't have a true slot corner on their roster ever since Tavon Young went down with a season-ending injury back in training camp. They've kind of moved Marlon Humphrey into that role, and he's done well, but until the season, he'd never played in the slot. So Cole Beasley could really present a challenge there for the Ravens secondary.
Yeah, that was going to be – Cole Beasley was going to be mine for the Bills offensively. The last few games we're finally seeing – the way I've been – it's been hard to write these sentences, you know, which is a great sign that you're a good writer by saying that. But I've been trying to describe it, what we've gotten this year from Cole Beasley is we get 2 catches, 12 yards, but one of them was a touchdown. So you're like, okay, good game, but it's the slot receiver. Like, let's get him, you know, a lot more looks. Let's get him more involved. Then you get a butt. And then I think against the Bengals, maybe he had 8 catches and then only 42 yards, no score. And then the last 2 weeks, it's finally there where he's got 6 catches in both games. If my math is right, that's 12 over the last 2 games. And then I think 187 yards and 2 scores in both games. And it's been really good for Cole Beasley. And, you know, I know slot defenders are kind of, you know, really just league-wide kind of, they're not, of course, like a quarterback, but you can't really just find one anywhere, a good one at least.
Right.
But speaking of good cornerbacks, you know, you got Brown outside for you guys got Hollywood outside for you guys, and we got Tre'Davious White, and I just love seeing him go up against like every number one. Because every week it seems like, whether it's a burner like this week, whether it's who am I thinking of, the Broncos, Courtland Sutton, Tre'Davious White just finds a way to get it done. But having said that, you know, Lamar doesn't really always have to throw the ball or look in one direction to make a lot happen. So,
no, and his favorite targets have been his tight ends this year. The Ravens are really high on the trio they have, led obviously by Mark Andrews and his 7 touchdowns. So, I mean, having 3 tight ends.
And then Hayden Hurst,
Hayden Hurst and Nick Boyle as well. They play 2 tight ends all the time. They put 3 on the field. I mean, that's just a matchup issue for every defense. So that's something definitely to be on the look on what they do against the guys besides Trey White.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes the Bills will bring him in the middle to cover tight ends. Sometimes it's, you know, Matt Milano and Micah Hyde. You know, they seem to just switch up the tight end coverage. But If you had one explosive threat, I think maybe they'll probably put Trey White on him. But we'll see. I mean, with like you said, with just the three tight ends alone, that's kind of a mismatch nightmare there, let alone your quarterback. I mean, it hurt watching Lamar deke that 49er guy last week.
And he gets one of those every week, too. Week after week, there's one guy who just – his ankles get broken.
I saw that happen as I was watching another game. It was just like, my goodness, that is just so disrespectful.
Yeah,
and that wasn't even a big run. You know, he's done those on a couple 40-yard touchdown runs too. That was only a 6-yard carry.
The spinning move against the Bengals.
Prolific mood.
That's what's so impressive. That's definitely a matchup I'm looking to see, because I mean, obviously, you know, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest minds in pro football, could not figure out Lamar Jackson's run style. You know, couldn't figure out how to contain him, and it's, you know, San Francisco obviously top defense. You know what? Nick, maybe this is more directed to you. What do you think the Bills have to do to adjust? I know they've been working on some different things. I forgot who they were putting into play to kind of plan for Lamar Jackson. But, I mean, what do you think that the Bills need to do to try, just, I mean, at least try to contain Lamar from taking off?
Man, you started this question off by saying one of the greatest minds in pro football doesn't have the answer to this question. But, Nick, we're going to toss it to you.
Nick, you got it.
Yeah, I got this one. Good thing my AP style tests are going to come in. Right? That's a great question, honestly, Matt, because, I mean, we're in the age where it's kind of funny where, you know, we all grew up playing Madden, so we're like, oh, just throw a – call the QB spy play. How can he go anywhere?
Like, it's my
well,
go-to.
And the guy's speed is 150 and the rating is only out of 99. Like, that's a major problem. So I'm not really sure what the Bills can do. I can see them maybe trying to keep a guy like Matt Milano on him, but based on, you know, he's a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker than Trey Edmonds. But at the same time, you think, okay, is Lamar going to get out of a deke from this, you know, 5'11", 6-foot linebacker? Should we get the 6'5" mammoth beast of Trey Edmonds to try to cover him? Is a linebacker good enough? Like, what can the Bills do? I don't know. I think they really just got to kind of maybe stack the line of scrimmage if they can, if it works. Sean might even know this more. He's probably seen so many teams try so many different things and just pray that their secondary can hold up any targets, because to me, that's kind of all I can see is maybe just trying to cover the flats and hope he doesn't beat you up the middle. And if he goes deep, well, let's have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer in their paychecks this week.
The one thing that's really worked on him, and this is going back to last year, so it's almost, we're talking about a different quarterback here, but that loss to Los Angeles in the playoffs, they played with 7 defensive backs on the field for a majority of that game. And it kind of just, he didn't really know what he was doing. They contained him really well there. They didn't bring all out pressure on him. But this is a different Ravens team, and you know, you put 7 DBs on the field, Mark Ingram's going to have a field day.
Oh yeah,
Mark Ingram's going to get 8 yards after 8 yards.
Oh yeah, that's another thing right there. The Bills, they just running backs alone. The Bills have been lucky a couple times this year, where for some reason, which you know, and again, the Madden age of it, it's all so easy to us. But I mean, Zeke Elliott had like 72 yards on only 12 carries last week. The Bills won. It got out of hand, but I don't know why they stopped giving the ball to Zeke. I mean, he's eating up the Bills. I don't know. They ended up losing to the Browns as well, and I think Nick Chubb had, like, only okay numbers, so people took that as a positive. I'm like, I don't know. He might have had 7 yards a carry or something like that. That's not very good. So, to your point, Mark Ingram, he could certainly have a field day on the Bills. These damn Ravens.
I do think we will see a heavy dose of Ingram and the second-year running back, Gus Edwards, just based on the numbers and how well the Bills' secondary has played, and which, you know, ranked number 3 in the league, and the run defense is ranked number 14. I'd expect to see a lot of those two guys on the inside.
Thinking here. you know, especially with how suspect the Bills' run defense is, I think that's – Mark Ingram's even a more key part of this than I think a lot of people realize. You know, Buffalo has had their issues. Obviously, Philadelphia put up, I believe, over 200 yards of rushing several weeks, almost a month ago, I really consider Lamar Jackson and Ingram to be a solid 1-2 punch. And obviously, you know, you noted Gus Edwards, you know, I think that's something still to worry about. You know, the run defense has improved quite a bit for Buffalo. Well, maybe it's play calling, but they've looked a lot better, at least on television. But I think that's really the best way for Baltimore really to attack this Buffalo defense and just keep pounding the rock up the middle. Maybe take it outside every now and then. But I think they're in a good place, Baltimore, at least from playing their style of football. At least I don't think they have to make too many out of the ordinary adjustments to how their offense has been running. And I think that's usually, you know, goes a long way. You know, when it comes to playing the National Football League, too many times teams like to get away from their play style and it usually doesn't work out for them. But I think Baltimore is going to be, you know, right in their element, I guess, trying to expose this Bills defense a little bit more.
They've stayed pretty true to what they do throughout the year, but they do kind of seem to have a new wrinkle, a new little something they like to get on film just about every game. Really, a guy you also obviously know well, Greg Roman, has just been an incredible play caller this year. He's one of the best assistants, probably one of the best coordinators in the league this season alone. He's done an incredible job in Baltimore.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and ask that, Sean. Are you guys, I guess I don't want to say worried at all because you guys still got Lamar Jackson, but any thoughts to Greg Roman getting head coaching job sniff in the future? I mean, Buffalo fired him, but Buffalo fired him under some very peculiar circumstances, if you guys remember. It was Rex Ryan's defense got shredded for 37 yards, and the Bills lost, 37 points, and the Bills lost 37-31, so they fired the offensive coordinator the next day. People were just like, what? You put up 31 points with Tyrod Taylor.
Well, was the defensive coordinator Rex's brother at the time?
I think, who was it?
Was it Rob Ryan, the coordinator?
He was helping, but I don't think he was officially coordinator.
I don't think he ever came coordinator. Why can't I remember who the coordinator? Okay, I can't remember the coordinator because when you got those defensive head coaches, you kind of just assume it's their defense or offense. But I know Anthony Lynn eventually ascended to offensive coordinator and then team with the head coach. So Greg Roman certainly seems like a guy that could be getting some sniffs.
Oh, and to answer your question, yeah, and yes, people in Baltimore do think he his name will be rumored, and in fact, we've heard his name rumored, like whether or not Carolina is going to request an interview with him. Cam Newton's the sort of quarterback he's had success with because he's done really well with Lamar, with Tyrod, with Colin Kaepernick. He knows how to run an offense around a quarterback with those skill sets.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Very good point. I do got to ask you, Sean, you know, on the Bills side, is there anything that, really worries you at all defensively, offensively, any people to look out for, as far as this Ravens team being able to chug along and get something going?
I do think the Bills are a good team, and I know you touched on this earlier, but they've played one, you know, their game against New England was really their one marquee game that they've played so far. The best win, I think, is Tennessee, right? The only team with a winning record so far. So I'm mostly just out of curiosity, I want to see how they stack up against one of the NFL's best. You know, the Ravens have had such a gauntlet of a schedule in these last 6 weeks. They've put them all down pretty easily with the exception of San Francisco. I guess I'm looking forward to that the most. I'm genuinely curious about the Bills, and I'm excited to see what they do this weekend.
And I do got to ask you too, knowing this running style of quarterbacking for Baltimore's sake, at least, you know, like we've mentioned a bunch of times, it's really unique in its own way. How long do you think this is going to be sustainable for? Is this do you think it could be a long-term play style at all?
I do think that's the plan. They just this week re-signed their fullback to a 3-year contract. So they're, you know, not at a time that most teams are getting away from their fullback. The Ravens are, you know, paying theirs heavily. They intend to keep playing this way. And on the injury front, you know, I don't think that's something they worry about. Any player can get hurt on any given play. And Greg Roman's kind of talked about how when Lamar Jackson runs the ball, he's actively protecting himself. Quarterbacks are actually, you know, much more susceptible to injuries standing in the pocket. You see guys all the time hit their thumb on a helmet when they follow through, or an offensive lineman gets pushed back into their knees. he doesn't take he they're still working on them to get down a little bit more, get out of bounds a little bit quicker, but he doesn't take that many unnecessary hits. He's pretty smart about that. And as we've seen, you know, he makes a lot of guys miss.
Miss, he slides really, his sliding time is like perfect. He knows how to stay out of trouble. You know, it's earlier in the season that, or even last year, that was something that Josh Allen wasn't really the best at, but Lamar really, he excels at it. You know, which is good
Allen
to see.
To turn that around with the concussion in New England, right?
Yes. Yeah. That was probably the last time he took a while. He took a bad slide, I would have to say.
He's been pretty good about that since. Lamar hasn't had that one. He hasn't really had his bell rung too badly yet, where I haven't held my breath for a major shot he's taken yet.
Yeah, the one thing I'm curious to see with Josh Allen in this game is not his running or not his throwing. The thing about him, he's been just such a gamer in certain moments. And you mentioned that the Bills' toughest test this year was the Patriots. And they only lost by 6 points to the Patriots, and I really wanted to see him play that fourth quarter because he ended up getting hurt, leaving the game, and that would have been great if we got to see him there. And I thought maybe last week he wouldn't look as good as he looked because it's on the national spotlight. It's his first game. I know it's not his first game overall, but his first game on the national spotlight, Thanksgiving, ended up being the game where the most people have watched a Thanksgiving football game in 3-4 years. And I mean, he kicked the Cowboys' ass, and I was impressed when a couple times he has these fourth quarter comebacks, and it's kind of a weak stat, you know, fourth quarter comebacks if he scores with a minute into the fourth quarter and they end up winning. That's a fourth quarter comeback.
That's a game winning drive.
So he's had moments like that, and those are the goofiest stats in sports. They have it in hockey too. You could win a game 4-3. But if you score the fourth goal and you're up 4-0, you end up getting the game-winning goal, which is like, what? You scored that in the first period. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But but he does have those moments. And I mean, we even saw it last week. I mean, I've never seen a guy on that 4th-and-1. That was incredible. I don't know if you guys were watching that live, but he literally dropped the football, picked it up, and then just filled his way to that first down. I was like, holy crap, man. This guy, I mean, you can't say anything about his effort. It's there. It's throwing the passes deep. It's maybe not there all the time, but it's his effort. I mean, dang, that was something to watch.
No, Josh has definitely grown on me. You know, just kind of watching his play, watching his effort, and you know, he plays a lot of heart, man. If you know, one aspect of the game isn't working, he's going to make it work. He's going to obviously try his best to make it work. You know, I was a doubter. I definitely was, and I wasn't too. I didn't think he could be the franchise guy from what we had seen, at least coming into this season. And actually, there's parts of the first half of the year where I was like, you know, I don't know if he's the guy. There's potential, but this back half of the season, Josh has played up to where we wanted to be as a sophomore quarterback. You know, we had obviously Baker experiencing a sophomore slump. We mentioned Rosen, we mentioned Darnold, but you know, it's nice for, at least from a Buffalo perspective, to have a quarterback that just continually improves, and you know, you think there's a high ceiling there.
I think Baltimore fans would echo the same thing.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, this is, it has to be a bit of relief, you know, obviously with you know, years with Joe Flacco, you know, he had his time, but you know, you could just tell there's a night and day difference between the two. Not even just playing style, but you know, attitude, fire, passion for it. Just, you know, it's vast improvement, which I'm happy to see. You know, it was a long time coming, and Lamar, he's playing with, you know, he felt slighted with the draft, and he's playing really well and putting everybody on notice. So it's good to see in that respect.
Right. He's got that winning drive that Nick just kind of talked to about Josh Allen, the way he picked up the ball and picked up the first down. I can, off the top of my head, I'm picturing Lamar doing that on Monday Night Football and running for 30 yards and actually being brought down at the 1 yard line and being mad at himself that he didn't get in. He's kind of, he's this ultra competitive guy, but he's also got this unbelievable humility for a 22-year-old kid. He's really an unbelievable leader. He's, you know, his teammates absolutely love him. He's a the kind of guy who last week, when he fumbled, and keep in mind it was his first lost fumble of the entire year, he went down the sideline, patted every guy, said, "My bad, my bad, my bad." He's the type of player, keep a lookout for this on Sunday. When he sees an offensive lineman on the ground after a play, he sprints to him, picks him up. You know, he's just that sort of a teammate, that sort of a leader. He's got this supreme confidence without a trace of arrogance. He is really the kind of guy you want, a young man you want to build a franchise around. And he's 22 years old.
Which is impressive. Very impressive. You know, you see some of the interviews on the sideline, or some of the like the mic'd up clips on the sideline. Mm-hmm. In that respect, there are a lot of similarities between himself and Josh Allen, which, you know, and I'm glad to see that these two are succeeding. They are good people. They're good teammates, good leaders. And I think they have very bright futures ahead of them as long as, you know, they continue to improve. It's been nice to see. That's for sure.
Sean, my last thing is I kind of like to get this out there. Now, like we kind of said, we've been talking a lot about his playmaking ability, his running. I mean, where are you with his arm? I mean, he's an enigma for that, like Josh Allen. But, I mean, I look up and down his game logs. Like, I look up and down everyone's game logs because I have too much time in my life. I have too much free time in my life. And I notice he's, you know, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns in a game twice. That doesn't happen by mistake.
I mean, what he's done with his arm is kind of undeniable at this point. He hasn't thrown an interception since the Steelers game, and that was back on October 6th. So, yeah, by the time they play this week, it'll be 2 full months without an interception. He was just today was actually named AFC Offensive Player of the Month for November, which we knew was coming. We knew that was coming because he won the weekly award 3 out of 4 weeks. But in the month of November alone, he went 64 of 84, 76% for 777 yards, 13 touchdowns, not a single interception. Wow. People who are still doubting this guy's arms, I mean, he's made them eat their words.
Yeah, he has. I caught a lot of flack because I knew Lamar was – I had a feeling Lamar was going to improve, and a lot of people didn't. Casuals. Mm-hmm. You know, just casual fans and you know, journalists alike, they didn't see that really happening. And I think that's what's probably impressed me. Maybe it's just flying under the radar, really. I think his running ability has overshadowed the fact that he has improved as a passer. Right. Not a lot of people are really looking at that aspect. And he's really emphasizing that dual threat because he can kill you with his arm and he can kill you on his feet. And, he does a very good job doing both.
And last Sunday against the 49ers, he really didn't have his best game. But on that game-winning drive, he went 3 for 3. He made all the throws he needed to. And he, you know, ran the ball a couple times as the Ravens ate the last 6 minutes off the clock and set up Tucker for the game winner. He's doing it both ways.
Yes, he is. All right. That's all I got. Nick, are you all set?
Hey, I didn't want to hit him too hard here. So,
Sean, Sean, are you all good on your end?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. I thank you very much, Sean and Nick, for joining on this extra episode of the Bills Wire podcast. You know, it's always good to get insight from other people, especially one who covers, you know, the Ravens yourself. And I appreciate your insight. It's always good to get, you know, that from somebody who squarely covers the, you know, another team. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back Monday morning. For Bills versus Ravens coverage, as well as a little bit of a Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday Night Football outlook. Till next time, go Bills.